Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hope you're doing well. Sorry we missed you last week. We were flown to all different parts of the world and we just couldn't get our act together. We tried, we did our best, but too much of life just swallowed us up. But we're happy to be back at the compound with me and my buddy Paul.
Hello, Tom.
Hello,
in your tiny cup,
Paul. I'm drinking espresso, so as not to offend the audience.
Are you supposed to do it like a shot?
Kind of, about three shots.
But it's one finger.
It's hot.
One finger in the little loop.
One. Have you never had an espresso before?
But it just looks like a child's like tea set or something.
You're so upstate New York. I am more European.
Yeah.
I have an Italian flair to me that can't be denied and allows me to enjoy some of the finer things that you all up there in the woods of upstate New York and the Finger Lakes and the ass end of Syracuse would never see. You order a cup of coffee up there. You ask somebody, where's coffee? They send you to the gas station.
Oh, you go to McDonald's.
You go to Mickey D's.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Are you excited for the Impossible Burger that's being offered at Burger King?
Well, I mean, obviously, there wasn't really much meat in there anyway. So
true.
So I guess it's better than pink slime.
Right? Oh, you don't think there was real meat in those burgers?
Well, they gradually just took it out slowly, right?
I don't know. I've never heard that.
You never heard that?
No.
Yeah, it was just like at McDonald's, they use this like pink slime as like filler.
Ew.
So like instead of like using 60% meat, they do 50% meat, and then they save. It's like if you're making 5 billion hamburgers.
Is this allegedly or is this true?
No. This is like a few years ago. You just look up pink slime McDonald's.
Pink slime McDonald's. I couldn't even finish typing it. They knew what I wanted. Pink slime in McDonald's.
Yeah, it's just like a bottom line thing of ingredients. Like if you use less actual meat, it'll be cheaper to make, and you have to have something that fills the spot.
It is an incredible amount of meat these guys have to crank out.
Right.
So
you watch The Founder, right? They just always made you have to make these decisions based on like mass production instead of like what's good.
Ew. It's a weird picture.
But yeah, it's like some kind of filler, whatever, which is basically what the vegan stuff is also, right?
Pink slime. For burger meat and chicken nuggets, ammonium hydroxide in its beef after a campaign against it by celebrity chef Jamie Oliver raised public awareness and grossed people out. Ew. To cut bacteria. So.
Oh, it's bacteria? I thought it was just like a filler substance, you know?
Let's go to Wikipedia. They know everything that's true. Pink slime, also known as lean, finely textured beef, is a meat byproduct used as a food additive to ground beef and beef-based processed meats as a filler to reduce the overall fat content of ground beef.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
In the production process, heat and centrifuges remove fat from the meat in beef trimmings. The resulting paste is exposed to ammonia gas and citric acid to kill the bacteria. In 2001, the United States Department of Agriculture approved the product for limited human consumption, limited. LFTB prepared using ammonia gas is banned for human consumption in the European Union. Ooh, you're not allowed to use it in Europe. See, again, you're in trouble up there in upstate New York, and I'm in Italy eating real meat.
Yeah, but that was, remember when I said that thing about the subway that subway used that chemical that's used in gym mats to like make their
right.
That's the same thing. It's legal here, but they outlawed it in England.
Pink slime was claimed by some originally to have been used as pet food and cooking oil, and later approved for public consumption. So they made it for pets, and they're like, we could probably just feed this to the humans. Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't... Have you had a vegan burger? You had to have
I've had plenty of vegan burgers. Right. I've had the Impossible Burger. You know, we have Morningstar burgers, which are... for my family, they're the veggie burger of choice.
Oh, that is? Okay. That's the only one I've had.
Not in Whole Foods, which means it has more chemicals and whatever their process is than Whole Foods approves. But it seems okay. And they're tasty. And, you know, there's a big wide range of these veggie burgers. There's those some that are like very pasty and cardboardy, and then there's some that are have some good flavor to it. And then they came out with the Impossible Burger.
Mm-hmm.
The Impossible Burger is a pea protein. And it's so much like meat that my family won't eat it.
What?
They say it's too much like meat. It kind of creeps them out mentally.
Wait, who's Impossible Burger? Is that Burger King or McDonald's?
They don't manufacture it. They're Impossible Burger is the company, and then
it's a company. Okay.
And then Burger King is using them now.
Okay.
In their Whoppers.
I see.
The Impossible Burger in the supermarket is put in two different sections in my supermarket. It's put in the veggie section with the tofu and the veggie dogs and soy cheese, and it's also in the red meat section, right next to the burgers and all the rest of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in their marketing of it, they call it meat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say this is veggie burger.
Oh, wow.
They say this is plant-based meat, and they call it meat for short.
Huh.
So they're appealing to meat eaters,
yeah,
as an alternative, and they're doing such a good job that the vegetarians are a little creeped out.
Yeah, well, it seems like anyone who is looking for that is looking in the vegetarian section, and
right.
Most meat people wouldn't try it unless it was like right there.
That's right.
So I get it.
They know what they're doing.
Like I did it. We went to Sundance. Maybe like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a little town, Park City.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll just buy out like something that was like maybe an ice cream store and just turn it into something. So that Morningstar Burger just bought out this place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's all famous people at Sundance. So everything's
right.
Just free.
Right.
So at any point you want to go in there and get a vegetarian burger.
Right.
So, of course, if it's free, everyone's going to try it. And then maybe one of those people turns into a fan and tells your friends or whatever. So I tried. I think we ate there twice, maybe. It wasn't like, it didn't like bowl me over, but it wasn't right. Bad. It just
no, they're good. They're really good. And there's, you have, the whole thing is to give you as much of a burger experience as you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And satisfy that thing that you're looking for, the juiciness, the burger experience, without leaving you, first of all, there's another whole wrinkle to this I'll bring up in a second, but then you walk away, it's like, when we eat them here, you don't feel an hour later like, oh, I had a big-ass burger,
right,
and
right.
Good night, everybody. You're light. You haven't had that. Your mm-hmm. body isn't digesting this big chunk of meat and fat.
But you did eat this huge chunk of pea.
Not huge.
Protein or
something. That's the thing with the Impossible Burger. It's going to... I got it. They're not cheap, by the way. One, and it's kind of in the wrong size. Like, the amount... It comes in, like, a square. And the size of it is really for, like, 3/4 of a burger.
Yeah.
It's too much for one burger.
Too
it's not enough for two. But that aside, I'm going to probably have it tonight. And that one square thing is $9.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty pricey.
So how do you know if it's done? Is it green in the middle when you cook it?
No. You know, I'm telling you, the consistency is so there that it's like you're eyeing a burger on the grill.
They put fake blood in it, so it'll...
kind of. I'm not kidding. Yeah. It, like, oozes.
Oh, that's funny.
This is why my kids are freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they feel... Because it's like, if you really loved meat and decided I'm eating vegetarian for health reasons or the environment,
mm-hmm.
you'd be happy to get this because it's close to what you used to eat.
Right.
If you never ate meat, and the idea of eating meat creeps you out.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh, muscle, cooking and eating it. This burger is going to creep you out because it looks and feels and tastes like
that. Yeah. I mean, I've cut down a lot. Like, I eat mostly like turkey and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But if I haven't had like, if I kind of even realize that I haven't had meat in a while, if I have, like, a nice, like, good steak,
yeah,
I do feel a lot better.
I'm with you.
So I can't, like, deny that it does something for me.
I'm with you. I'll give you, before you leave today, I should give you some of Rogan's elk.
Oh, yeah, the elk.
Would you cook it or no?
Is it already
You don't have
in,
a grill.
Is it already in? Well, I have, like, a little grill on the
You don't really
top.
Cook meat at home, though, right?
No, I mean, I just cook like hot dogs. Is it right. already in like sausage form or is it like a patty?
I might have some sausage left. The other is not a patty. It's like crumbly ground meat.
Okay.
That you probably shouldn't take because you'd have to do stuff with it.
Yeah.
But there's ones that are like a roast, like steak. It's kind of tricky. Right. I'm not giving it to you. Yeah, how about this story though? What about this curveball that just came out? Today, yesterday. Welcome to October, by the way.
Yeah, happy October.
In the New York Times, eat less red meat, scientists said. Now, some believe that was bad advice.
You never know.
The evidence is too weak to justify telling individuals to eat less beef and pork, according to new research. The findings erode public trust, critics say. So public health officials for years have urged Americans to limit the consumption of red meat and processed meats because of concerns that these foods are linked to heart disease, cancer, and other ills. But on Monday, in a remarkable turnabout, an international collaboration of researchers produced a series of analyses concluding that the advice, a bedrock of almost all dietary guidelines, is not backed by good scientific evidence. If there are health benefits from eating less beef and pork, they are small, the researchers concluded. Indeed, the advantages are so faint they can be discerned only when looking at large populations. And of course, the Heart Association and the American Cancer Society, the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health have savaged the findings and say that the science is not accurate. It's flawed. But here we are again, right? There was that time when everyone said you should not eat any fat and you should cut all fat out of your diet. And so people were eating snack wells and all these sugar-based things. Then they flipped it on us 10 years later and said, all that sugar is bad for you. Get rid of the carbs. And then no red meat.
No
for
flour,
your whole life,
no
and then flip it around.
Meat, no. It just depends on who's financing the study.
Yeah, exactly. And also who's putting it in their face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're eating anything all the time, it's probably pretty bad for you. Well, but not necessarily. I'll take that back a little bit. If you're eating broccoli and asparagus and salads every day, you could probably eat so much of that you're never going to have anything but a positive benefit. If you eat hot dogs every day,
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to, because I like to actually see the evidence of, like, here's a person who has, but the funny thing is anybody who's eating super healthy now it usually means at some point they were like destroying their body somehow, and they like had some kind of dramatic turn, and now they're juicing three times a day or something. Like, it seems like extremes. Like, that'll be interesting to see, like, if your daughters go the whole way without ever just eating like regular meat, like, at all.
Yeah.
And what the generation kind of looks like when they're in their 50s or whatever.
I can tell that my one daughter, she probably needs more protein than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And she like will crave turkey at a certain point when she's working or doing something.
Right.
And the other one doesn't seem to ever have that. And I think it's just their physical makeup is different.
Mm-hmm.
But that little one, like you start to fade and you eat a steak and pow, you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need more iron, you need more protein, you need that stuff that you can only get from a big dose of that.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, look, moderation is always the key, they always say. I get it. But it would be really nice if people dialed in the science and told us what the deal was. You know what I mean? I've got a if you told me I could have steak every night, I would do it.
Yeah.
I'm only not doing it because I know because everyone scared the hell out of me about red meat forever.
Well, like you said, though, it does weigh you down and you feel like a little bit like I'm trying to think like,
yes,
last week I had like, you know, I hadn't had pizza in a while. When you have like a few slices of like really greasy pizza, you kind of like just feel bad.
Yep.
And yeah, that's like directly connected to this horrible thing that I just ate.
Yes.
So, you know, and also the important sentence of that is processed. Like when you find you seek out, like this is really good meat or this is really good chicken or whatever. No steroids, no anything.
Yeah.
It seems to like at least taste better.
What's amazing, too, is it doesn't take much of a substance in your body to have an effect on you, right? Anything. You take a couple sips of that Diet Coke, you come to a little bit. I have a little sips of my Italian espresso.
Right.
I'm different. There's that, you know? I mean, that's a trace. That's a little shot glass of stuff, and it has a big impact on your body. You sit down and eat a half-pound steak, you know what I mean? Your body's going to work all day and night.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take much. As we know from working in comedy clubs, two drinks and half the room is on their ass.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the Rams game Sunday and, like, tailgated, and it was like you have, like, one burger. Like, it's a big difference than having, like, two or three because, like, you know, and it was very California, like there's water, everyone's drinking light beer or something else, and it was like it's not that East Coast. You know, I've gone to Buffalo Bills games with friends at 4 a.m. that started drinking at 4:30, and you know they had their bathroom outside and it's 0 degrees.
There is a massive amount of consumption there. I guess it's the weather. I guess it's you're not outside all year round, so you're not so conscious of health, and you don't have too much sun, so you're like, how long do we want to be here anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, also, the big thing is it's mostly where can you smoke weed for California tailgating?
Oh, yeah.
At least the guys that I was with.
There must be a lot of weed.
So, yeah, and... Well, have you gone to the stadium?
No.
You haven't gone to a game yet, have you? I've never been to a game either, and we just, you know, a bunch of us, somebody got the tickets, you know, because that stadium's like 100,000 people.
Wow.
So they have the regular parking things, which I think you can't smoke, and I don't know if you're allowed to bring beer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole business of people renting out their backyards.
It's in the neighborhood around it?
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
Wow.
It's like $30 a car to park, but then you have the whole back thing. So all the guys that I was with knew this place, and there was this guy that was like, yeah, do whatever you want. They set up a barbecue in this guy's backyard.
Are there bathrooms?
Yeah, he's got a bathroom back there because they do it for every event. So
that's how they make money.
So, but they're moving next year. So this is like the last year they're
doing it. Oh, this is the last year. Oh, right. For some reason, I thought it was the new stadium.
So, yeah, this is like the LA Coliseum. So, yeah, but it was cool. The guy was like, hey, do you guys need anything? Like, would just check on us. But, yeah, we just like.
Does it smell like weed inside the stadium?
No, it's so open air. Well, I mean, if you're around people that are smoking, but I think
I just picture the whole thing being filled with weed.
No, it's pretty amazing how many, you know, cause that's like, you know, that's regular people going to that game. That's not Staples Center Laker fans. That's like Dodger fan people going. So it was like,
but everybody smokes weed out here now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, the people, like, these tickets are $8. So this is, like, everybody bringing their friends and family. And it's just amazing how many Rams fans there are. Like, the Chargers really screwed up because I think, the Rams also went to the Super Bowl. But, everyone in the whole stadium had a jersey. Everybody had a hat.
Was it a nice vibe?
What's that?
Was it a good vibe?
Yeah, it was great. Beautiful day. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, like you're around friends that you haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like just there and they're like, oh, yeah, it's 14-7. And they're like, what do you mean? The game started already? And we're like, oh, yeah. But it was just fun hanging out here with you guys. So we didn't walk over until like the end of the first quarter.
Oh, jeez.
And we still saw the score was 55-42.
I think
it was a shootout.
What's with the Rams? The Rams are, they shouldn't be to Tampa.
Tampa ridiculous. Played amazing. Like that.
They did, but they've been stinking it up the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, but Goff threw for 500 and something yards. It was crazy. Jeez. Threw 68 passes.
So you think they're a good team?
I think they're still good.
Yeah,
but I think that Jameis Winston guy is such a wild card that you know, I mean, the Giants definitely, you know, aren't better than Tampa Bay. That was just like kind of a fluke, I think.
You think they just got excited by the new quarterback?
I don't know. Well, I think that quarterback is so up and down. Like, I don't know what Winston did against the Giants, but I think he passed pretty well, but yeah, they looked great against the Rams. Like, putting up 55 points.
I know. It was crazy. It made me think, are the Rams not as good as they were last year? I went 9-6 for the week, which was pretty damn good.
Oh, nice.
And not enough to put me in the...
Did you bet for the Giants or against them?
I went for the Giants, they were giving up 4.
Yeah.
And I went for them.
They might win next week, too.
They were just excited. Who they play next week?
Minnesota. They don't play anybody good.
Yeah, Minnesota's not that hot.
And Dallas just lost, so they're not even like that far behind. Like they're.
This is why betting football is so hard, because everybody's all in on the Rams and the Saints and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys crap out, and the Rams crap out, and now you're like, all right, so now next week is all thrown up into question.
Right. Yeah. The Cowboys.
And why are the New Orleans doing well after Breeze is out?
I don't know. And that quarterback's terrible too.
Why? But they're winning. They're winning big.
They won 12-10 against the Cowboys. It wasn't like they played amazing or anything.
No, but they beat the Cowboys.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like the Cowboys couldn't score more than 10 points. So that's something.
Weird.
So I don't know.
I thought I had it all figured out.
But that was like
those are the ones I lost. I lost the Rams and I lost the Cowboys.
Oh, you did? Yeah, because nobody picked Tampa Bay. So that was the thing. Is like I don't think I'd been to an NFL game in a couple of years and hadn't been to one in L.A. And it just happened that, like, this was one day we were all here. So, but I was exhausted. Like, I was...
After the game?
Well, we all were, like, just because it was a good hang, but it was, like, it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
It was just, like, cool. There was, like, a nice breeze in the stadium, but you could really see the... like the seats were so high up, you could see everybody. They call it the 22-man view or whatever, where you can see everyone on the field. So like you could see like just the timing patterns and the windows that the quarterbacks have to hit. You know,
that's cool.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you never get to see that on TV. That's the thing. Growing up back east and living back east, I never really loved going to football games because it's always starts getting cold, and yeah. you know, and I like football, of course, but I was just like, this is a lot more fun to be in my house with my snacks and the right. fireplace going. It's like, why am I going to a game? But and out here, I always have the idea that it's just almost too nice.
Yeah.
It's like you're in this beautiful, you're in the stadium, but it's also like you should really be at the beach.
It was. Well, we were just tailgating instead of going to the actual right. game.
Yeah.
So
9-6. How did I lose 6 games, though? That's weird.
So, I mean, you've been away for how long has it been? A week? That was the thing is I was working every day since, I don't know, May or something. So mm-hmm. I haven't had like any time off. And I just, as soon as I did the Rams game, I slept for about 15 hours because I was just exhausted. So I was wondering what you did because I know you got back Sunday. But
that's funny. I could tell because usually you're always on it, like, when are we going to do the podcast, and we were going to try and do Sunday, and then you kind of went off the grid for a second. I was like, I bet he's wiped. I didn't know what the story was, but I knew something was going on. I came back on Sunday after the week in New York, where I was like Tommy Radio Show.
Right.
I did the What a Joke with Papa and Fortune 3 days in New York. Then I did the Come to Papa live show, which I'm posting for our beautiful podcast listeners.
Oh, nice.
And then I did the Live From Here show, the NPR show. Where I did my monologue out in America.
Yeah, I saw it. So you read from your book.
And then I read from my book. Yeah, exactly.
So did you do 2 different things on the show?
Yeah, I did the book and okay. I did the Out in America.
On the Live From Here Instagram, they shot the... I think it was the story from your book.
While I was doing it?
Yeah.
Like live?
Yeah, and whoever's doing it was like laughing so much that like it was like distracting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's I don't know if it was so like funny. A nerdy guy. He's like...
It's my friend Ben. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that was about your wife ordering from the restaurant.
Yeah, about... Yeah. It's from the book called That Cute Thing She Does. And... It's about when you're dating somebody, like what you have to go out to eat with someone if you're going to decide whether or not to be in a long-term relationship with this person.
Yeah.
Because you're going to eat a lot of meals together.
Yeah, it was great. It killed, right?
Yeah, it killed. It did really well. It blew out in America away.
Looked like a great crowd. Like, that looks like the perfect venue for that.
It's a good spot for sure. I mean, there is something... I think it's better than touring around with it. I think they should just crank out their... You know, I used to tour every week, and now it's just in New York at Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be that way, because it's really, you know, it came off of Prairie Home Companion, but in reality, it's a new show.
Yeah, it's a different show. No?
It's a totally different show, and it doesn't have the name anymore. So it has to build up its following, and it's expensive to tour, and a headache to try and sell tickets yeah. in a new market, as you know, as a touring comedian. So stay there, do it every week. Build it up. And then when you know that the audience wants you to come to Dallas or New Orleans or Milwaukee, then you go.
Right, right.
So it makes a lot of sense. And you know, for me, it's great because I love going to New York. That's, you know, I always have other shows to do there. So I'm totally happy to go. I can't get there every week. That's the one unfortunate thing. But I don't think I should be there every week. I think I should do it, you know, a couple times a month.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be back there on the 12th. So anyway, I did my show and did a bunch of spots at the Cellar, which was super fun. And then got a pickup at 4:30 in the morning and cruised off to back to L.A. Super, super early, the 6 o'clock flight. And I got up, I got into the airport, got on, I saw someone up ahead of me. They look kind of familiar. And then I get on the plane, and it was Neil Brennan.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was doing something for Saturday Night Live. And I was going to bed when Saturday Night Live started.
Right.
Because I had to get up at 4:30. So he just came right from SNL, and they have that little after-party kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then he came right to the airport, so he... slept the entire flight.
Right.
I was taking pictures of him on Instagram, of him just being passed out. it was pretty funny. But it was definitely oh, I missed Cynthia's call. I just saw Cynthia pulled up.
Oh.
And I just missed some texts by her. I think she wanted me to go get our kids.
Oh, was she? Oh, I thought we were supposed to let her in or something.
No, this is she might be angry that I couldn't go get the kids, but you're here podcasting, so I think I'm okay. She seems to be laughing. She seems okay. We're not gonna get in trouble.
I'm not gonna tell you that you raised your kids wrong, Tom, but I think that you raised your kids wrong because
I believe it.
Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
And the musical guest who is a platinum selling
Billie Eilish. Eilish.
Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas.
Right.
Who grew up in what is it? Highland Park, not far from here, Los Feliz.
Uh-huh.
Parents are
homeschooled them.
Actresses, you know, working actor kind of people. One of the mom teaches improv. Instead of sending their kids to private school, they homeschool them, and then their daughter's a billionaire when she's 14.
Yeah, I know. So you're saying I should have kept my kids at home.
You gotta, I say, you make them panhandle, Tom. They'll figure out a skill if they're out on the street. You know what I mean?
You're right. You know how much money I've spent on their schooling already?
And what did they play? The flute?
Nothing. Char, come here for a second. We're on the air. And Paul is saying that I raised you wrong. He says that you look very nice. He said that, oh, that's cool, Texas Tuesday at the school. Paul is saying that I made a horrible mistake in sending you to school and paying for all this education, and that I should have homeschooled you and kept you here with your artistic parents.
Yes.
And you would have had Billie Eilish money.
Phineas. Yeah.
So, is it too late?
Send you guys on the street.
She was writing songs at 14, and you're 14. What are you going to do?
Fashion.
See,
but she also is a retired dancer already at 17.
She's retired?
Yeah. It's too many injuries.
Oh. Well, is there any other way you can make money? If I take you out of school, I'll save money, and you'll have to make money.
You can sell those pies on the street.
What do you mean fashion? You wanted to be a fashion designer since preschool, but what have you done about it? Nothing. You walk around, you tell everybody you want to be a fashion designer. We haven't made one penny on it. What do you think, Paul?
Send her to the fashion. Is there a homeschool fashion institute? Is
there? You can do, yeah. Artsy high schools that don't have homework.
What if we lock you in the basement with a sewing machine? Will you come up with something?
What if we just send you to Starbucks and let you make some money there? Kapow, barista money, and free coupons. Kapow.
She wants to be successful in 2 years. That's good. I just heard the I don't want to work part.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I'm like, what the hell? I was bussing tables at your age.
At least she's not saying I want to live here forever with you guys. Tell that to Billie Eilish.
Yeah, Billie Eilish has lots of monies. I think she has. Colin Quinn did something on the Tonight Show with her.
Yeah, I saw. It was funny.
And her introduction was like something like she has 57 billion downloads on or plays on YouTube.
She's got like platinum, like four or five platinum records, which they don't even, nobody gets that anymore.
And the music is just kind of moody, right? We can do that.
Well, you know what I realized was that you guys used that for the Super Bowl video, right? that Bad Guy song?
Oh, yeah.
Because I never heard that before.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because you were dancing to it. Remember on the street?
Charlotte and the girls all do videos every Super Bowl because they don't like watching football. So they make videos.
Sure?
I'm talking to you guys while they talk. And they make video.
I think that's the only other time I've heard that song.
During the Super Bowl because they don't watch the game. And at the end of the game, they present it, which is pretty impressive. It's always to music and edited.
It's like the Saturday Night Live of music videos. You do it like in 2 hours.
Yeah. So Paul thinks that was Billie Eilish.
You used one of her songs, right? Because you guys were fans of hers before anybody else knew her.
Hey, the cat's here, and the dog, and the child. Isn't it crazy how the house just
came alive?
Bird comes alive like that? When I'm here, everyone knows I'm not helping or doing anything, and they all just stay away. Everyone just sleeps. As soon as the kids and my wife come home, it's like
Gone the whole week. She had the whole office to design. Where's all your designs?
Where's the designs? Home? Where's the business plan?
Because that's
so much homework. We did like 5 hours of it every day.
Charlotte, when I go to bed first, you got to turn the lights off upstairs. Yeah, they're burning all night. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of the light bulbs. I come up at 5:30 in the morning. The whole house is all lit up. Oh boy, creepy people.
The ghost will light your way.
Yeah, the ghost will hold your hand and walk you downstairs.
So wait, you still have a cat?
What do you mean? Yeah.
I haven't seen this cat in like a couple of years.
The cat's been on another killing spree.
Really?
Yeah. Birds, mice, ripped apart a bird in the bathroom feather by feather.
Man.
A lot of mice.
I feel like this should be a Rob Zombie movie. The Killer Cat.
Killer Cat. Wasn't there one? Oh, Pet Sematary had a picture of a cat on the cover of the book.
Oh, yeah. I heard your interview with him. That was pretty good.
With Rob on the Sirius XMs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And he was really fun.
I was surprised he got up that early.
I didn't get to go do the premiere.
Oh, no? I still have to see the clip of you, Tom, what's the name of the movie?
Three from Hell. I'm in it for like 20 seconds.
You're a newscaster.
Did you see it?
No, I just heard you guys talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I look like a bald walrus. I have no hair, and I have a giant mustache, and good friends saw it, and were like, too bad they cut you out of the movie. I was like, no, man, that was me. Nope.
I still haven't met Rob, and it's funny that he always wears a Munsters t-shirt no matter where he is.
Yeah.
So I think we should have like a Munsters trivia matchup.
Oh, yeah. You versus him?
Yeah.
You think your knowledge can match...
Just of little facts, like I just remember like little dumb facts from that show. But I know that's like his complete inspiration, right? Like he loves that.
Yo, completely. He had a lot of memorabilia from it in his house.
Really?
Yeah. Was it Adam's family or the Munsters that had the big polar bear? Like by the stairs?
Well, they had like it wasn't a polar bear. It was just like a monster in the stairs.
No, you're thinking of the dragon.
Yeah.
No, so it must have been the Addams Family.
Right.
The Addams Family had this big, you know, taxidermied,
stuffed
polar bear, and he got it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was in his house.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he collected a lot of stuff, and then I don't know if he sold it or whatever. If you were to collect something like that, what would it be? Would it be sports stuff? Old sneakers?
No, I like movie stuff. I like... whenever you used to go to like Planet Hollywood, they would always have like, you know, like one place had like a gun from the movie Midnight Run.
Right.
Or like Thornton Mellon's American Express from Back to School.
That must be an easy market to fake all that stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You never know if it's real.
Yeah, there must be so much of that. I would like to collect stuff from writers. You know, like when we saw the Mark Twain thing, yeah. We saw him using like the first typewriter.
Yeah, that's really cool.
There was some stuff we could have stolen that day.
Yeah.
Like his ashtray for his big cigars. Mm-hmm. And that would have been cool. Did I tell you I handed in the book?
No.
Look, dude.
Congratulations.
Did I show you this? This is the book.
There's a lot of pages there.
Is that crazy? I'm going to let it land.
That's Tom Summer right there.
Ooh, man. And I met with my editors. There's still some work to be done, but they're very happy. We're on schedule. I got to take 3 days off from writing it, and I got to jump back in. But it feels pretty great. I feel like I've broken through.
Nice. Have you done... are you going to put more pictures in it? Or is this all... This is how many pages now?
250?
I have a question.
Yes.
So you read from your...
First book. Ha ha. It's cool.
Have you ever done any of these things where you read, like a show that you read? Do you think
no.
that would help your...
Yes.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
I know. Here's the problem. I'm shooting my stand-up special on October 24th. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what you were asking about that, by the way.
Well, I was going to see, am I going? Or am I?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just didn't know when you were flying out there, if we had to do anything like the night before, like we did in Cleveland, or if it was just like day of.
It'll be just day of.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the... Yeah, we can't even get in the building until
right.
the night before.
And then the other one was, we're going to Detroit, but it's the day after Halloween.
Oh, is it?
Which we've also done that, too. I think we did that last year when we had
Yeah, we did.
Party,
we busted out somewhere.
And then we left at, like, early...
Right.
The earliest flights.
Super morning, yeah.
So, like, yeah, there's only, like, two direct flights to Detroit.
Oh, and you wanted to know which one I was on?
Yeah.
I know I haven't booked it yet, so yeah. I should book it, I guess.
Yeah, you should, because it's going up. But I got one. I got one of them.
We're going to Detroit to the Majestic Theater.
Which everyone says is a beautiful theater.
Beautiful theater, and we still have to sell tickets for it, that's for sure. And we have October 24th in Newark, if people want to go to
Tom
that.
Tom Special.
Just go to TomPapa.com and pick up all that stuff. But... Yeah, that'll be very exciting. Why do we bring this up?
Because you just asked
going to Newark.
What I was asking about going to Newark. Also,
yeah, but before that,
going
to Newark.
I can't remember.
Doing the special. Yes, what I would
reading
like to do is read my book in front of audiences.
Yeah,
it would be helpful.
Which there is a lot of those shows.
I do. What do you mean?
There's a lot of those shows. That's what I did it for a while. Like, I had a show that it was like writers read like a story.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do the show with my buddy Carlos in Santa Monica. And you know that guy Steven Tobolowsky, the actor? Mm-hmm. Like, he writes books, and he'll do that too, where he'll read like a story from the book.
There's weekly shows around town that
all
do
over
that?
The place, yeah.
I would love to do it.
Yeah, I'll try to...
If you could, because I got to hand this in pretty quickly. What I really should do, like Sedaris does.
Yeah.
He has, you know, he's the king of it all.
He went to UCLA for 2 weeks and did like 3 readings a night. That's how he worked on his last, the one about the diary.
It's pretty powerful. I mean, it's a real good way to figure out. I mean, even the thing I read on Saturday, you know, this is in my book and it's funny and it's solid, but I was still tweaking it when I was going to go
tell,
up.
I could tell, yeah. It was like, it definitely makes you tighten. Because when you did it on Conan, it was like super helpful too.
Right, exactly. So it would be pretty great for one more editing pass to be able to go just take it around. Even not, you know, not enough to do all of it. Just take some key essays that you just want to see how they play and kind of get the flavor of it. Do like one from the middle, one from the beginning, one from the end, something like that. It would be, yeah, if you have names of it, I would love to go do it. I was actually thinking of asking them at the Improv Lab.
Yeah, that too.
Because that's a good little spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
Figured
I'm
out.
Running out of time is my problem.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you're still working on it, so it's not like...
Yeah, no, but I'm running, but I'm going to have to hand it all in.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to do too much with it. Mm-hmm. I guess I will. But that's why I brought up the special. It's like I'm going all in on stand-up sets for the next 3 weeks. So I don't have that much time to shut down and read the book. But maybe, why not? People would kind of enjoy
it. I think it would be cool if you... That's also, like, a thing Sedaris... Well, I mean, Sedaris does so many shows that it's easier. But, like, that would be cool for you to, like, be able to record with the audience, like, one chapter or one of those stories and have that in the audiobook. You know what I mean? Just for, like, a change of pace.
Yeah, that's smart. That's a really smart thing. Yeah, I guess so. I could try.
I'm just giving you feedback because I didn't have to work on it.
Well, so. I just dropped our podcast equipment.
I think it's still going.
Yeah, I think we're still on the air. So, yeah, we're going to have to figure out Halloween. We've got people that are chomping at the bit that want an invitation. I'm not sure what the kids are doing. I'm not sure what Cynthia's planning. We've got to get the list down. It's now October. It's time to dial it in.
What is Rob Zombie going to be for Halloween? Does he just dress up?
He dresses himself up like a businessman, like an agent.
I did love his show business advice.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, he's exact. Like that's why it is funny that like people like he always says about you two looking like an unlikely pair. Like everything he said, I was like, that's exactly what I think. Uh-huh. Like whenever he says, like, you know, we want to, or what was the thing about whenever somebody says we want to be in the Rob Zombie business, he's like, you just run away from that person.
He has such great advice, but it's almost like advice that as he's saying it, I'm always thinking, this would only work for you. But the other side of it is, no, I think he is right. It's like, you know, the way that he considers his time to be pretty precious. It's not being a diva or being arrogant. It's just, I don't have time to do all this extra stuff of the meetings and the yeses and the nos that you're asking for. I just have to use my time to make the stuff I need to make and just go.
Yeah, he's the rare person of... He knows exactly what he wants to do, which, I mean, thankfully, you have that in certain parts of your life. There's some, you know, when you start a comedy, you're like, okay, I want to do this no matter what. He does that with, like, movies or music or whatever. So when he wants to do something, he just decides to do it. And anybody who tries to veer him from that, he doesn't have time for.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the other part of it is he hasn't dealt with television. You know what I mean? Like, the things that we always try and get going are always at the mercy of a studio and a network saying whether or not this is going to get on the air and stay on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always think about him, like, when I was doing, you know, whatever show, and his advice is, you're just going to make it, and it's just going to happen. You're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when some executives are saying, we're not putting this on the air anymore? It's like all the mental...
Yeah.
Positivity and, and you know, drive that you have gets knocked off by these people you don't even actually see. They're not even part of the equation.
Right.
It's a strange thing. And when you think about it, if you're making an album and that's our stand-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to stop us from doing that. No one's going to stop us from doing this. Right? Nobody, right? That's the place that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain things when you get involved where it's no longer totally in your control.
Yeah. And that story about the Super Beat, because that's the thing is you guys worked on that feature animated film, Super Beasto, and it just kept getting like bogged down in like.
Yeah, it went on for like 4 years.
Production.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, and he has similar stories with his other films.
But he said that you were the only reason that got made because he would have given up on it.
Yeah.
Or something about.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like you made him keep writing it.
Right. Yeah, no, he's very impressive. He's one of those people that when you hang out with him, you leave thinking, okay, let's go to work. You think you're working hard, but you could probably do a little bit more. You know, those people are always impressive to have in your life.
That's why music must have drove him crazy, right? Like, just working and...
Dealing with...
Well, I mean, it's almost like dealing with comedy clubs. Like, to see him, like, deal with, like, some like, music club that was, like, skimming off the top or something.
Yeah, who knows? I know. He was such a... That whole scene. I was thinking, if we want to start a successful business, I don't know what kind of income you have going on right now, but don't you think, I know rent is a problem, but don't you think if you were to open a place like CBGB's in New York again, mm-hmm. not CBGB's, just start a rock club
yeah.
where you can let young people come and do their thing, because you know that there are there's a whole new generation of young punks out there that want to just rip the heads off of
yeah
of the music, and there's no place for them to go that's like a central place, like the Comedy Cellar for music, which right. is what CBGB's was, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think if you a place were to open like that, it would just crush?
Yeah, like some kind of rock club.
Yeah.
Do they do that in...
There's no... Everything that we did before still exists with younger, yeah. hungrier people.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no spot for it, if there was a spot for it, they would be going crazy.
Right, right. So you want to have like some kind of... I mean, they have all those places at the Sunset Strip, but those are so like... They seem like so corporate now.
Yeah,
like these bands buy an hour to like play.
Right, it's like an institution.
Yeah.
The problem is that you know when those places started, there was New York was on its ass, and you can get rent places pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's
crazy.
Now you can't. Yeah, but they also say that real estate's starting to change. I don't know all the details. That's what I want you to do. I want you to find the space and run it. And walk around with a big cigar.
Dressed like Rob Zombie.
Yeah, or maybe like Billy Graham, like Bill Graham or something.
Yeah, that is interesting that he told you that his fan, he's like has more fans than ever, right? For all his live shows.
Yes. He's at this point in his career, his live shows are bigger crowds than ever.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it's like, I'm sure he has like, really successful records, but I mean, I don't think most people know like maybe a couple of Rob Zombie songs. So that
well, his fans. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it's a weird time. Like you wouldn't have a peak in your audiences unless you had something that was playing on the radio that was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It does for some artists, you know, like that Billie Eilish you were talking about. She's on YouTube. That's like the new radio, I guess. But he doesn't need to have like hits playing on all these radio stations for him to be doing really well. It was just through reputation of being live shows. That's why I'm saying like there's still young people that want to go to concerts. There's mm-hmm. still young people that want to make music. It's still and there's you know, and there's just no place for this these activities to kind of happen.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to take over a whole city and make it like the new Austin.
Like Burning Man or
yeah, like we take a town like
well,
El Paso.
Nashville's turned into that, right?
It's LA now.
Everyone's moving there.
But everybody says Knoxville is the new one.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need the smaller one.
Dollywood.
That would be nice. Are you watching Country by Country
no,
Music?
No, I saw that you were watching. I started. Well, here's one for you. So, who is a country artist that you would still see live? That's like performing now.
Old dude.
Anybody that you've ever wanted to see.
Willie Nelson.
Okay.
Jason Isbell.
I don't know who that is.
He's great.
Oh, because you know all these people. There's a guy tonight that you had on Live From Here that I became a huge fan of.
John Prine.
In L.A. tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah. At some little place. I don't know.
I was in an elevator with him.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's amazing.
Yeah, that guy's great. And then Sunday night.
I don't know if I'd call him country.
No?
I don't know.
Oh, man, yeah. He was a...
Singer-songwriter, dips in country, dips in folk, dips in rock.
But his thing was, like, moved to Nashville, started writing songs for everybody.
Yeah.
And then started doing his own stuff, I think.
You heard the legendary story of how he made it.
No, what?
He was in some city, I want to say, let's say Detroit. I think that might be right. And Kris Kristofferson was in town. And they heard that he was playing in some small bar somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
And he... Now I'm getting fuzzy, but I'm going to stick with it. And then he got to the show late. And John Prine played all the songs for him anyway, just hanging out.
Oh, really?
And Kristofferson was, like, blown away.
Oh, wow.
And it was what became Prine's first hit album.
Oh, okay.
And he just kept playing, and Kris Kristofferson was an immediate fan.
That's funny, because Kristofferson was like the janitor at some recording studio. That's how he got discovered.
Oh, like, yeah?
He just was playing one night after all those guys, like, you know, was cleaning up. I forget who, somebody, it wasn't Willie Nelson, but somebody like that.
In this Ken Burns thing, which, you know, Ken Burns can make any subject so amazing. And he's, and not to say that country music is short on details, there's a lot there for sure. And one of the details last night in the second episode was Willie Nelson was talking about this guy who was something Miller, who was this big country swing guy. He was almost like a band leader more than a musician himself. He was a musician, but his big claim to fame is he would put on the best people he could find, and he would lead the band, and he would kind of holler in between and put on this great big show. And Willie Nelson's talking about it because when Willie Nelson was 11 years old, he was putting on shows, and they show this little 11-year-old kid with blonde hair and a cigarette just sitting at a table with some girls, like a businessman.
Yeah.
And it was Willie Nelson.
Yeah, you should read. That's one book. I'm reading his book now. It's insane.
Willie Nelson?
He's like, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to read that.
About being like a grown-up when you're 12.
Yeah.
He like was out of school, like running, because he was always running with like these hustler kind of guys too. Uh-huh. So it'd be like this guy who like might have robbed something. They just decide to like move to Portland, Oregon. And he becomes like a morning DJ. He was like a radio guy.
At what age?
At like, I don't know, 18, 17. Like had a kid. Had a kid, was married, and was like lived in San Diego. Portland, was like a morning radio guy. That's how he made his money.
But Portland.
He was writing songs and
Hello, Chair.
Yeah, he would like promote his shows on the radio. That's what his hook was, because nobody else knew how to do that.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, to it's almost like it's a different world. Like,
yes, right. It's, you're literally talking about
growing up in the 50s, or
right?
Something.
Yeah, it's a whole nother existence, a whole nother time. You should check out this Ken Burns thing. You'd like it.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, I think it was the wrong pace. I was really tired when I started it, and it kind of starts slow anyway. So
yeah, you got right, exactly. I was sitting there watching, and I was like, I'll just have my laptop with me, and I'll burn through some emails while I'm watching this, and it's so good after like 20 minutes. I'm like, why am I trying to do emails while I should just look at the screen with my face and let this wash over me? And it was pretty great. All right, buddy, where are you next week? Are you out on tour right now?
No, in LA? I'm taking, like, I'm going to do stuff in town, but I'm just taking a week because I've been going full bore since, like, May. So I know you have, too.
What are you
going to
eat?
And we're both going to Hawaii next week.
Yeah, for one night. I'm there one night.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I fly in Monday. Well, I guess two nights. Fly in Monday, do the show Tuesday. No. Yeah? Huh. Fly in Monday, do the show Monday night, and fly back Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quick. Couldn't convince them to give you like another day?
I don't have it. I got to get back for the radio show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll be on Thursday. Do you know that? Did you get your
No, I didn't know that. This Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Am I bumping anybody important?
Probably. Probably Howard Stern. Oh, that's good to know. I actually found out that they're so good at booking the show, they don't involve me at all unless it's something really like urgent.
Yeah.
That they need like you know, help with or something, like if it's getting robbed or something like that. And yeah, Ryan came up to me, Ryan Hamilton came up, and he's like, I'm so sorry I had to cancel those, doing your show two times. When he came to do my show.
Oh, in New York.
He came to do my show in New York, and he's like, I'm sorry, finally, right? I mean, well, the last two times it canceled. I never knew about it. I was like, oh, that's how it should be run. Like, I shouldn't know that. They're doing such a great job.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not until, like, towards the end, so I feel bad that, like, because I was like, okay, Tom will know that I'm getting up as early as he is on Thursday.
Yeah. But
then, like, I'm not coming into like 7:30 or something. So
you're, well, yeah,
the last half hour.
No, that's the first half hour. We go seven. We start at seven.
Oh, I thought you were starting at six.
No, man.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were getting up at like 5:30.
I wake up at 5:30.
Oh,
but I'm on the air at seven and go to nine.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's good. Nice. Easy breezy. So we're just going to do this over there.
Yeah.
All right. Go to tompapa.com. You know all this stuff. All right. Enjoy your
day. The special, yes.
Enjoy your life.